So we're talking about how I'm a teammate with Kevin. And that's what our marriage has always been, just being a team. And we were sitting in a parking lot in Walmart in Colorado, because that's where we went away from the kids to talk serious things. You know, as soon as he said he wanted to do this carnival. And so I'm sitting in this car with him, and I say, now, Kevin, when you say that you're going to start a carnival, where does that mean you're going to take the money that we have saved for the house and buy a bounce house? You know, because that's what we're talking about. He had to buy a bounce house, and obstacle course, and all these things. And so he said, and I was crying as I said it, because at that point in my life, I felt it was essential that I had a house. Now, since then, I have realized that a home is not my security. God is my security. But way back, you know, 20 years ago, I really felt like that would make a difference in my life. Anyway, isn't that funny how your perspective changes? So he looked at me and he said, Loretta, he said, I'm going to raise the money. You know, I'm not going to use our money. I will raise the money. And I said, you promise? what if it's time we're supposed to be there and have that carnival in June and the money hadn't come through? You know, are you all little faith like me? And he said, I know this is what God wants, and it's going to happen. So it did happen. And that's how in our marriage, I have always been pulling him down a little bit. But when push comes to shove and he says, this is what God wants me to do and it's going to happen, then I just go along with him. You know, he has to give me a lot of assurance, so can you tell? Because I am a person, I am so cheap. You know, I'm really a cheap person. You know, you wouldn't believe. You know, I was getting senior coffees before I was a senior. You know, because I knew I looked old enough. You know, those people that run those drive-thrus, they don't know how old you are. And a manager at a McDonald's told me that they don't card you. You know, they don't make you show your driver's license. So I knew I could, which really was a little bit of lying. Y'all know that now, right? But anyway, so we're going to talk today about, you said I do, but do you still? You know, and I'm going to give you three things that I try to do to avoid so that I still do what I'm supposed to do for my husband. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for these ladies, the chance that we have to be together to talk one more talk about marriage. It's the most important relationship that we have here on earth if we are a married person. And Lord, I admire people that work on their marriages, and I pray that you'll help all of us to get a fresh idea of something that'll we can go home and be a different woman and be better for you, because that's what it's all about. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you three things that I avoid to prove to Kevin that I still do. One thing that I avoid is entrapment. That's feeling like I'm in this stuck situation. You know, I'm married, it's old, he's old, I'm old. You know, all these things are old. And there's nothing new, and what do you do, and the kids are gone, and where's our purpose in life and all that. Well, I don't want to feel stuck. So some things that I do on a regular basis. Now, what I have done, I hope this is okay with everybody, but I took a Bible verse and I changed it. It's the Loretta Walker version. It's not an NIV, you know, it's the Loretta Walker version. Psalm 142 verse 7. I'm going to tell you what the Bible actually says first. Psalm 142 verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison, you know, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. So David said here, bring my soul out of prison. So in my mind, I say, bring my soul out of entrapment. Bring my soul out of this stuck feeling that it's old. You know, it only takes one person to put a new spark in a relationship. Do you know that? It only takes one person. And I'm going to give you a couple ideas of things that I've done just in the last year. And what I do is I think, what this year can I do different that's going to make Kevin feel like, you know, he's number one, he's the best, all this stuff. And I'm going to tell you another area where I failed in doing it. whenever my kids came off the road a couple of years ago, and my ministry changed tremendously because I was doing so much more for the ministry. Well, when you're doing so much for one thing, you have to give up other things, right? So it was hard on me. You can tell I'm being sarcastic. It was very hard on me, but I gave up ironing shirts.
That's awesome.
Well, so ironing shirts, because he wears Western shirts, you know, and they got to be ironed. And so what I did was I started drying them like two at a time. You know, I'd put them in the dryer, they'd come out, and I'd hang them up right away. You know, and I thought, they didn't look pressed, you know, but I thought they looked really good. And so, so I gave up ironing, but Kevin, he's just a different kind of a person than me. You know, he likes everything just so. Like, when you look at his closet and my closet, there's a world of difference. I'm always in a hurry, you know, and his underwear drawer is very meticulous, you know, stacks, everything's in certain places. My underwear drawer looks like an explosion, you know, because I'm trying to find this one thing, you know, and I put more than underwear in the drawer, you know, I hide things in there, money, you know, jewelry, you know, things like that, because I think, who's going to look in an underwear drawer for money, you know? I know some people put it in the freezer. Have you heard of that? You know, people put it in the freezer, cold cash. So I gave up the ironing, but this is what happened. He started noticing, you know, and then if there were some shirts that really needed a touch up, you know, there's some types of shirts that need a touch up. I'd hang them in this section of the closet. His closet's over here, and I put it in this section of the closet. And so one day he came up to me and he said, Loretta, he said, I've been looking for this gray shirt, you know. He bought this Wrangler shirt and he had it embroidered, Round Up Ministries on it, and had something embroidered on the back. Well, when he bought it, I thought, that thing's going to be a bear. You know, you can tell what material does nicely, you know. And so it would come out of the dryer, and it still looked wrinkled, right? So I'd hang it up there, and I said, okay, I'll iron it sometime. And so he said, I've been looking for that gray shirt. And I said, it's in the back right up there. And he said, can you iron it? I said, you know, I gave that up. And then I laughed, but he didn't laugh. And then I eventually would get it out and iron it. Well, just the other day. Last week, I always tell things. I always wish this happened years ago when I was young. You know, I told young things last, and I haven't locked him out of the house since. I promise. Just last week, he said, Loretta, please, you know, there's a pair of pants that I've been wanting to wear, but they aren't ironed. I said, Kevin, I know your mom taught you how to iron. That's what's nice about being old. You can tease each other, you know. And he said, really? And I said, he said, isn't that your area? And I said, well, yes, but I've added so many other areas. How am I going to keep up with the ironing? So last week, I'm so proud of myself because it's a new way I'm showing him that I love him. It's a new spark in my marriage. I took 10 shirts and 3 pair of pants to a bride chamber.
That's the way.
I think of this last year. Now, I don't know if I'll be able to afford it forever, you know what I mean? But it wasn't very much, you know, and I thought, this is wonderful. And that gray shirt with the red, that was one of them, you know. I pulled all the ones out on the back that hadn't been done. Anyway, so a new spark might be just doing a new thing for it. Now, one of the things that I did start doing whenever the kids got off the road, and I said, I gotta be better to him. You know, I gotta find a way to be better to him. So now I pick out all his clothes. He loves it. You know, he wears wild rags. Yeah. You know, I don't know if y'all know, big scarves with his outfits. And so every Sunday morning, every Saturday, every, you know, when he's going to be dressing up like Ranger Walker, I get out his, all his paraphernalia and I put it, lay it on the bed for him. And he just, that makes him kill love. You know, it's it put a new spark, you know, and every once in a while he'll say, thanks for getting my clothes out, you know. Sometimes though, I'm ornery, and he's ornery back to me. I want you to know that I'm not the only ornery one in the house. Sometimes he'll say, can you give me something out to wear? And I said, you want me to dress you too? Well, yeah. No. But, you know, figure out something new. You know, you want to put a spark in your marriage? Just figure out something new you could do for it. You know, now, if your husband kind of doesn't notice things, I don't think it's bad to say, hey, babe, I don't know if you noticed, but I did such and such for you because I love you. You're special to me. You know, don't do something and then watch. Is he going to notice? You know, is he going to say something? Is he going to be appreciative of it? You know, you scumbag. All right. Anyway. I quit trying to figure out if he was going to remember my birthday. You know, I just let him know 3 more weeks, it's my birthday, you know. And then I try to give him a list of what I want, because sometimes what he gets me is not really what I want, you know. I remember one time he bought me a popcorn popper, and I thought, I don't think that's romantic, you know. But it's okay that it was the thought that counts. But I want good thoughts about it. The second thing that put a new spark in my life, now you, this might not work for you, so I understand that, but involves a illustration of concerning Verna Ray. Last year in November when I went home, we had such a rough, Jeannie joined us on the road, and I was moving her in and out of hotels for 3 months, and it was just, I can't even tell you how stressful last fall was, so I did not cook very much. We ate sandwiches. I went to Sam's and Costco and got pre-made stuff. You know what I'm saying? And so I said, when I go home in November, I'm going to cook for you. And he said, oh, great. You know, because, you know, eating out's okay, but it's not the best. And eating sandwiches, you know, that's not his thing, definitely. So when we got home, I said, I'm going to open up a cookbook and I'm going to try some new recipes. Now, let me explain something to you. When I cook, the only spice I really like is salt. Right? Now, you say, that's weird. But when you grew up in West Virginia, I guess we don't know all these spices that people use, and we sure didn't cook Mexican. You know, we didn't cook Oriental. You know, I never cooked rice until I got married and made stir fry. You know what I mean? It was just, it's a different world there in my home. And so, I said, so when I go home in November, I said, I'm going to cook some new recipes. And so a friend of mine was cooking this, her name is Valerie Crane, and I'm putting her recipes in the Christian Womanhood magazine right now. And she's got some great ideas. So I picked out different recipes from her, you know, and I started making them. And lo and behold, I had cooked a chicken. Somebody gave me a whole chicken. And I cooked the whole chicken, and I was going to make chicken noodle soup, homemade chicken noodle soup, because I do know how to make homemade chicken noodle soup. And so when I got a text from Verna Ray during this time when I'm trying to do new recipes, okay, and it was her chicken chili recipe. And I just cooked the chicken that morning. I got the text from Verna that afternoon. I said, you know, I've got enough broth and chicken that I can make 2 recipes of something. So I made that chicken chili. It was such a hit with Kevin. But why I'm telling you this is I really believe that God said, Loretta, you're trying to put a spark in your marriage. I'm going to help you. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a sweet story?
Yeah.
Do you know that's how I depend on God for everything? Mm-hmm. You know, when he knows I'm trying to work on something, he just enables me. He works out the details for me. And he doesn't love me any more than he loves you. Mm-hmm. If you go home and you say, I want to try to be better in this, and I'm going to try to put a spark in my marriage by doing this, and I'm not going to let this feel stuck anymore, and I'm not going to feel like this is, you know, old stuff, you know, he will help you, you know, because I really believe that verse when it says you have not because you ask not. Yeah. I believe anything you ladies ask God to do, he will do it for you. He'll help you to do it. And I don't think I've explained all this to Verna, but I am going to sometime today because we're going to go out to eat. But can you believe that? And he absolutely loves that. See, when I cook my normal food, He has this refrigerator full of spices and sauces. And, you know, he's got 3 containers of all these salts and spice, you know, all these things that he throws on my cooking because it's not spicy enough for him. And I thought, I'm going to try to add some spicy stuff, you know, and that does have a little bit of a zip to it. But you know what I'm saying? Why can't we add a little spark to our marriage? Now, the second thing, you said you do, but do you still, is avoid a lack of respect for each other. Every once in a while, and I I'm always honest about this, every once in a while, because we are with each other 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, we're just, I thought when I got married, you'd go away 8 hours a day. You know what I mean? But it's hard to admit that way. You know, just the first 4 years of our marriage, we worked in a Christian school and all that. He was away for a little bit. And it was wonderful. But when you're with each other 24/7, now some of you don't relate to that. You don't have that problem. But, you know, it's just, you can just sort of get used to each other. And you can get, you know, lack of respect for it. And say unkind things. Like, when he's having a problem hearing. You know, last December I was supposed to get his hearing checked and I forgot. You know, I never got the appointment done because I want to have proof that he can't hear me. Now, he says I mumble. Can you imagine? But it might be true because my mom was a mumbler. As she got older, she mumbled. So I'm really trying to open my mouth more and talk plainer to make sure. But I'm in the back of the motorhome. A motorhome's only 40 foot long. You realize that, right? So just a little bit. And he'll be up in the front of the motorhome and he'll say to me, he'll say, Loretta, where's such and such? And I'll say, right, where it is. And then he says, what are you saying? And then I say it a little louder with a little more force. And he said, you don't have to yell. And I say, you know, and so I've been trying to work on, you know, this was last year I was doing this, and I've been trying to work on figuring out how to say it a little louder without being a little meaner. Because, you know, that's not respectful. Now, one thing great about the kids being gone is who sees it, you know? But the father sees it, you know, and I got to realize that. And so I've been really trying to move more up and then open my mouth more because he does say I mumble. So I'm going to try to prove to him that I'm not going to mumble. You know, and do you take teaching from your husband like that? Like when he says that, or do you fire back at him? Yeah, I don't mumble. You just can't hear. You know, I didn't say that. I just said, okay, I'll start talking better to you. You know, that's respectful. You know what I mean? Being willing to take him correcting you. It's respectful, you know, and I got enough confidence in myself, and I have to be honest with, you know, some of us are not honest with ourselves. Yeah. We, you know, we don't see, you know, I could be having that problem. I could be doing that, and you got to be willing to have. Another story, I always have stories. Now, this did happen a few years back, but I am always in such a hurry. You know, I try not to talk too fast when I'm talking to y'all, but I got so much I want to say. I'm afraid I'm not going to get it all in. But I'm always in a hurry, and so when I answer the phone, I don't talk a long time. You know, anybody that calls me about Christian womanhood, I'll try to say, and I always smile when I'm on the phone because you can't see me, but I think it makes me sound nicer. You know, and so I say, yeah, oh, and I don't want to seem like I'm in a hurry. You know, all these things I think through when I answer the phone. Well, Kevin calls me, and he's a cowboy. You know what I mean by cowboy? You know, and he kind of moseys around, you know, sometimes. Now, when he's in a hurry to go hunting, there's nobody who goes faster than him. But he calls me, and he'll say, Loretta, and when I hear that, Loretta, I think, okay. And I try to make myself smile, because I don't say, hurry up, you know, hit it out. And so one time years ago, we were in a conference, and I was getting ready for something at the conference, and he called me to try to find something he was looking for to use as an illustration at the conference. And so he's telling me all these details about what it was, and I already knew what it was. As soon as he started talking, my mind clicked, and I knew what he was talking about. Are y'all, my mind just is that fast. And so I'm just like this, and I said, well, let's try here, here, or here. You know, and I'm really concise, here, here, or here. And I said, oh, is that good? And he said, yeah, that's good. And I said, okay, see you later. And I hung up. That night, we're sitting around after the services of that conference, and he said, you know, you hung up on me today. I said, I hung up on you? And he said to me, yeah, you do this all the time. And I said, I hang up on you? I had no idea. Have anybody ever told you you did something you thought you didn't? I don't do that. Me? I'm so perfect. I couldn't do that. So I said, how did I hang up? So he said that, and my kids were sitting around, and he said, yeah, Mom, you do that to me too. And I said, you're all getting against me now. This is ganging up. Well, so they said that when I'm finished with the conversation, I said, okay, bye, and I hang up. And I have to be honest, I do that all the time. You know, I wear an earbud all the time because I had neck surgery. I have this thing I always, and sometimes I'll hit this button too fast and I'll hear people, yeah, and they start to say something to my part, hung up, and I can hear them. And they, oh, so I got to call them right back. But, you know, I still work on it, but I'm not really good at it because when I'm done with you, I'm done with you. Anyway, so he said, and so I said, okay, I said, I will admit, you know, that this is probably something I do, and I'm sorry, you know, and I said, tell you what, I'm going to start saying, now is there anything else? You know, and it's a part of my respect for him. You know, just yesterday, he was trying to find something, and he's explaining all these things about this thing, and I told him, and I'm not good with detailed directions. You know, that's why it's easier for me just to do it than to try to tell you how to do it, because my mind doesn't think in details to explain it to you. And so I stayed on the phone, you know, smiling, and I said, look in this file and this file. And he said, this file? And I said, no, not that file, this file. And so we were on the phone about 20 minutes, and he looked at it, and I thought of this talk, and I said, now, I do need to get ready for this ladies' meeting. I said, but is there anything else? I was so proud of myself. Because that's respectful. You know, when you find something that irritates them and hurts them, why can't you just figure out a way to change it? You know, just find one, you know, just work. And can I say this? Don't work on everything all at one time. You know, don't go home, I'm a new woman. They won't believe it. You know, just go home and just try. You know, I really believe the magic number for changing a habit is 90 days. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm, like right now, I'm real big on thinking, I got this ironing, I got to get this on top of this, and I got to stay on top of, in my mind, I got to stay on top of it for 90 days or I'll forget. In a month's time, I'll forget that I'm supposed to be doing something about these shirts getting done for him so that they look better, you know, and all this. So for 90 days, you got to really focus and say, I'm going to do this. You know, make reminder. I'm a big person to remind myself. I love phones. You know, because you can set a reminder. You know, make sure you do this. Like, it's just a wonderful way to do things. So, pick out something you can do to keep yourself from feeling stuck. You know, to put a spark in your marriage. Second thing is figure out a way that you can show him a new way to respect him. You know, like me. Is there anything else? You know, find something that would make it a different for him. Man wants respect, and we need to give it to him. You know, there's lots of verses about this. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I really don't think that submission is a dirty word. I think somebody has got to be in charge. And one of the abuses that I've taught people about is when children see their parents don't love each other. That's actually an abuse that's listed because it makes children feel insecure. You know, so you gotta, if you want to give your children security, love your husband. As you love him, respect him. Do for him and let them see that you love each other. They are supposed to be number one. Then the third thing, I gotta hurry along, this is going fast. The third thing that you want to avoid doing is avoid being a down and the out wife. Avoid being a down and the out wife. You know, what Shelley said up there was I wish I had my notebook up there. I could have been taking notes. If any of y'all took notes, come show me and I'll take a picture. That ants thing, I got to write that down somewhere because that's fantastic, that thought was. But, you know, she said, you gotta, she said she's got to fight those bad automatic feelings. Do you know what? The longer you're married, the more you have negative thoughts about your husband. You know him well. You know all his habits. You know that he throws his socks right next to the dirty clothes hamper instead of in. You know things like that about him. You know he wads up his towel, lays it on the floor instead of hanging up so it dry out. You know, whatever it is. You just know him. You know he burps inappropriate times. Whatever it is. And it's easy to have negative thoughts about your husband. And the negative thoughts will take away the joyfulness of your marriage. So, I use that verse on Psalm 51:12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. But instead, I'm saying restore unto me the joy of my marriage. You know, and I'm going to just, Lord, show me how to be a joyful wife today. You know, you just need him. He can show you how to do it. Oh, I don't feel good. And that's why I talked last night about feeling better. Ladies, you got to take care of yourself. You all so admire my spirit and my up. And I'll be honest, tomorrow when I get, we got a large, very large carnival. About 500 people are going to be at this carnival tomorrow. And tomorrow I'm going to be this up for them because I decide today I'm going to be good tomorrow. So tonight when you go to bed, you say, tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to be a joyful wife. You know, just do it. You got to say, how do you do it? When things go wrong, you, like I said Thursday night, you be flexible. You know, just go with the flow with it. Instead of being upset that things go wrong, you know, when something falls on the floor and breaks, you just go with it. We got to just make ourselves. Where are we at where we think we're just going to naturally have joy? It doesn't come naturally. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Joy is something that I manufacture. And I want you to manufacture it. You know, one of the ways... This is what I have been doing, is I tell Kevin good things that he does, at least once a day. Now, I know that Miss Faith says text people, and I think that's good, you know, but when I was a teacher, I always thought that every student in my classroom, I would, on purpose, and I had a check mark against every name, and every day I would try to say something positive to each student, all right? Well, I really believe the more positive I say to Kevin, the more he feels love, and the more joyful I feel toward him.
Yeah.
Right?
Man.
You know, instead of thinking, okay, last year, we were at home, there was only two things that I wanted to, the year before when my motorhome was home, it was in the shop from November till the day before, the night we packed up. We got our motorhome back. It was gone for almost 2 months. So I didn't get to do anything to fix it up. You know, and you know, when you live in small quarters, you know, I have to go through it and get rid of stuff. Well, I did all year long. Last year I had all this junk with me that I normally would have gotten rid of. If you, any of you live in small places, the way to live happy is be small. Have little, just a little bit of things. You know, so when I got home this time, I was, in December, I thought, I can't wait, I'm going to get to clean out my thing. But there were two things that had gotten bad. The grout in my shower had mold on it. I don't hope that don't sound gross to you, but it was just, it's a 29-year-old motorhome. And I'm sure nobody's replaced the grout. And so the second thing that I wanted is the steps. And Mrs. Hiles taught us in class, Carla, that your guests judge you by the first appearances when they open the door.
Yeah.
Right? Well, when you open my door, I had these white, very heavy, good quality white carpet on the steps in this motorhome. 29 years old carpet, you know? Well, it was so stained and it was so nasty looking, I kept putting rugs on it with rubber on it so that they'd stay still. And then I just have to, I vacuum every day of my life because we got dogs, you know. So I vacuum it and all that stuff, but it's still just, when you open the door, yuck, you know, those white. So when I got home last time, I said, Kevin, I said, the only thing that I need, really, really need, is the grout and the steps. Could we just replace that somehow or another? Well, he's very handy. And my husband is wonderful. As soon as I know some of you got projects that you wish somebody come, the little handyman would, fairy would show up and fix. You know, I know y'all probably, but my husband's like not like that. He, you know, he'll fix things. You know, but he had scheduled a lot of things for us to do in December while we were home, and so it didn't happen. In January, I finally said to him, I said, you know, the only two things I really wanted, and he said, no, I don't remember. He didn't remember. And that could irritate you if you let it, you know. But I just said, well, it's just the grout and the steps. And I said, if you could just get that done. Well, he didn't have time. I said, do you mind if I hire somebody to do it? And he said, no, no. So we found a guy, and he came and fixed it. Well, that was great communication with him, you know, because I didn't put him down. You know, by saying, you're never getting anything done around this house, you know, and all that stuff. And the other day, I was laying on the bed, and I had gotten a clock from Carol Tudor in August. I went in August and helped her move. I flew in to help her move, and she had this clock with these big letters. And in our motorhome, it's got a clock on the wall, but the 29 years old, some of the you can't tell what the numbers are because it was digital. And so I really wanted this clock on this little shelf here. And, but it's so hard to get the clock to, you know, it has to be plugged in a certain way and all this stuff. And so I said to Kevin the other day, I said, Kevin, I know how to, I took industrial arts in junior high. He said, oh, wow, you took industrial arts. And I said, is it all right with you if I just, you know, cut that cord and fix that clock? And he said, no, it's not all right with me. You'll probably electrocute yourself. And I said, oh, you know, and so he was going to get up and, you know, right then and fix it. And I said, no, I don't. And I had to keep saying, no, I don't want you to fix it. You know, just because I was going to do it, I just thought, I'm laying here and I got an hour. I could do this. You know, I just snip and black tape it. You know, I thought it would be great, you know. But anyway, he wouldn't let me do it. But I had to beg him not to do it. I even had to text him, now, please don't do the clock. So he's that good about this. But He let me do that. You know, we have a joyful marriage, and I believe part of it's because I say good things to him. And I can't even tell you how many times I've thanked him for the grout. Every time I take a shower, thanks for the good grout. You know, thanks for the steps. You know, when I come in, it just looks so much nicer. It just looks so clean. You know, it's easier to sweep it. You know, I keep a little whisk broom there and sweep it all the time. It's just, oh, it's so wonderful. You know, and it's a better marriage. And I'm the one that promotes it. I'm the one that makes it happen. See, a lady the other day said to me, you know, it was you, Natalie. I think we were talking, and she said, it's always me that's got to do something. I said, yeah, that you're the only one I can talk to. We can't fix him, but we can fix you. We can help you to be a better you. We can help you to have a more joyful marriage. And that's what it's all about. That's why you come to these meetings, because you say, you know what? If there's something I can do to make my marriage better, I want to do it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for these ladies. Thank you for the chance that we have to talk and share these thoughts with them. I pray now that you'll bless them. Lord, some of these ladies, they don't have a good husband. You know, they have husbands that are hard to live with. Help them to use some of these principles in spite of their life situation. The truth will help them no matter what. But Lord, then the other ladies here that have good husbands, help them to know how to implement just one of these things to make their marriage better when they get home. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.